This is my Bible. It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can.
I'm a believer
and not a doubter.
I'm a doer
and not just a hearer.
I am humble before the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
And I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that
faith comes by hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
I don't pause and just say thank you to Pastor. God bless you for the opportunity. God bless all of you who are here on this morning, those watching online, and a special blessing to my family, all of them. And I just want to tell them, hey, it's been a journey. It's been a journey. But there's a song that says, it's just another. It's just another day's journey. And I'm glad about it. Psalm 18, I'm going to read it to your hearing, verses 1 through 6. A special emphasis on verse 2. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It says, the pangs of death surrounded me. Some of your Bibles say ropes, and floods of ungodliness. Some of your Bibles say destruction. They made me afraid. Verse 5, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. I like this other version. It said, the grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death itself stared me in the face. Verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. You may take your seats. I'm going to start out. I just want to give you a little bit of background with that passage. You know, the Psalms are most often poetic, and they're usually sung. What's unique is, you know, about this specific psalm is that David spoke the words of this psalm to the Lord. Psalm 18 is written in Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry uses words with similar meanings that what they do is they build on one another, words that build on one another. It's called parallelism. And although I'm highlighting the first six verses, Psalm 18 is the longest psalm of thanksgiving. And it's almost the same as, I don't know if you guys know, 2 Samuel 22. It's almost the exact same if you get a chance to read that. 2 Samuel is David's song of praise unto God for his deliverance from Saul and his enemies. Centuries after David's time, the children of Israel used Psalm 18, the same psalm, to express hope that God would rescue them from their enemies. And I know I was led to this text for a specific reason. And that is because God wants us to have the same hope and victory over our enemies today that they did back then. And with that, my prayer and objective is simple this morning. It's one, for you to know
that Jesus is the true foundation. And two, to encourage you to build on the foundation he laid so that you can have victory over your enemies.
You know, as I was preparing for this message, the Holy Spirit was very specific. He said, Adrian, tell my people that I am the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer. Yeah, yeah. Tell my people that I am the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer. Yeah. And I took it a certain way when he said it because it's definitely a declaration, not how we read it in the passage. We say, God is my rock, God is my, he said, tell my people I am the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer. It's much like Moses, when Moses said, who do I say sent me? Who do I tell them sent me? He said, tell them that I am, that I am sent you. A declaration. And so let's go ahead and look at Psalm 18, verse 2 specifically. Let's look at it in depth. Psalm 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, this text comes to me at the heels of Pastor Bolden's series, God Got You. And I was shouting all over the place on that. I had to play it again at the house because it is timely to be reminded. And you might know it, but sometimes you get to a point in your life where you need to be reminded of what the scripture says about you in your current situation. And the reminder was telling us that God got you. And so I'm in the same vein, and I want to build on that. In our text, David uses some distinct words, metaphors, if you would, to describe God as the true foundation. He says, the Lord is my rock. Say, the Lord is my rock.
The Lord is my rock.
Here, the rock symbolizes protective care, enduring firmness, and security. And this is profound because the word rock in Hebrew, it means Selah. And I know if you read in throughout scriptures, if you're familiar with your Bible, ever so often in some passages, you'll see at the end of the passage, maybe sometimes in the middle, the word Selah. And I say, man, Selah. Selah in Hebrew, it means, it's a specific place throughout scripture. It means, it's a technical musical term, probably showing accentuation, pause, or some type of interruption. Selah could also be, this is when I got excited, Selah could also be when the singer stops singing and the instruments keep playing. And then I came across another root word for rock, Selah, which means to be lofty. Lofty is an elevated place. To be high, right? And it means to lift up or exalt with voices. Oh, I got real happy, right? And I got excited because they were having what we call a praise break in biblical times. A planned praise break. Selah. Hallelujah. So when I say Selah to you throughout this sermon, this is a planned praise break. This is an opportunity for you to give God some praise. Hallelujah. Oh, Wayne already told you that there's some, when you praise him, you might think it's foolish, but you don't realize that your praise is a weapon. You don't realize that as you're going through the circumstances of life, when you lift up, hallelujah, your voice unto God, the rock, he gets in your situation. He inhabits the praises of his people. You know, God is showing us in his word that we need to praise him as David did for delivering us. Somebody's already been delivered. You need to praise him. He's showing us we need to praise him like the children of Israel did to express hope that God will rescue us from our enemies. See, they weren't delivered yet, the children of Israel, but they praised him to express hope that God would deliver them from their enemies. The next word is fortress. We're still looking at the word picks, metaphors in Psalm 18 and 2. Say, the Lord is my fortress.
The Lord is my fortress.
He is your fort, your defense, your protection against an attack.
Yeah.
I like it. It said your castle, your stronghold.
Yeah.
And I want y'all to pay attention because in each one of these terminologies that I mentioned to you, God has his way where he's the rock. In him, he's Selah. He's the lofty place. The enemy has his version of the same word picks. Huh? That's why I had to tell you, he's the true foundation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Because there is a false foundation that we can get caught up in. Amen? Your castle, your stronghold. And so we think about fortress, it's a fortified place that will protect you. When the enemy uses it, it's a trap.
Go ahead, say that again.
It's not to protect you, it's to entrap you.
Yeah.
It's a snare.
Yeah.
It's a net.
Uh-huh.
The next word is deliverer.
Uh-huh.
He rescues. Say, God is my deliverer.
Uh-huh.
He rescues, he saves. He snatches you away.
Yeah.
He preserves you.
Uh-huh.
And he recovers.
Yeah.
You see, the enemy doesn't offer deliverance.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants you to be bound.
Uh-huh.
He offers his bound things.
Uh-huh.
The thing that you say, I can stop when I want to.
Uh-huh.
It's not a sin.
All right.
Just a little while longer. Until you get to the point where you realize you can't stop.
Amen.
Say, the Lord is my shield.
The Lord is my shield.
The other word in some of your Bibles is buckler. That's your protection again. You see how the words, they kind of accentuate each other. They build on each other. Some of them say the same thing, but they're still distinct in their own way. Amen.
Wow.
Just remember that. Say, the Lord is the horn of my salvation. He's your strength. There's strength again. Say,
the Lord is my high tower.
It's a high place again. And a fortress is kind of high. Then the lofty place is a high and elevated place. You see how they build on each other, but they say it in their own unique way. He's a retreat. And again, stronghold. You know, the enemy's version of the shield, it translates to the word scale, kind of like the scale of a crocodile. So you know I had to look that up. I said, why the scale of a crocodile? In Job 41 and 15, it describes the crocodile's scale as his pride. And it says that they stick, the scales on the alligator stick together and cannot be parted. And so it's a direct correlation, its direct meaning is scale. It's translated as the word shield, the way that we look at shield. But notice the pride. It's a pride thing. That's what the enemy offers. That's his false way. And so just remember that the enemy, it's important to know that the enemy offers a rock, but you would have to carry it. A fortress that's not protection, but a trap.
Uh-huh.
The shield, pride. And he doesn't offer deliverance because he wants you to be bound.
Right.
And so you can see there's a lot. We gain a lot from a poetic piece, the Hebrew poetry. And that was one verse. That was one verse.
Uh-huh.
And for me, I love poetry. I love the arts, but I love poetry and words and the meanings. And so I could appreciate this text, but I want to give you guys something that God gave me, and I'll put it in this way. I dissected this specific portion of the psalm, Psalm 18 and 2. And this right there in that passage, God is teaching us how to build together, how to work together, how to accomplish the things of God together. So listen to this. The psalm starts with the rock, the true foundation, and then the words build on one another. It's beautiful and harmonious. The meanings of the words agree, even though they are unique in their descriptions. The words are on one accord. They can stand alone, but they choose to build on the word that was there before. None of the words are trying to outshine or undermine the other. The words complement each other and hold one another up because they realize they all share the same goal: to build on and exalt the rock of all ages. It's important for you to remember why you do what you do. When you work, when you're building, we call it work and building, when you're living a life and just going through life and doing the things that God has called you to do, it's important to remember why you do the things that you do. Selah. Pause for a moment. I wrote this in here. And lift up your voices in this place. Hallelujah. 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 I asked myself a question when preparing this message, and I want you to ponder it as well. I said, why would the Lord want to declare to the church who he is? Why would he say, tell them that I am the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer? Don't they know? Don't they know that, right? The dilemma is that some people in the church have developed practices that are not a part of God's building plan. I believe the Spirit of God is saying, put all your trust in me. Psalm 20, verse 7 says that some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Today, some say, I trust in the name of the Lord, but they contradict themselves when they need crystals and sage and a strange awakening, or anything that is apart from God. If you trust in God, you don't need to put your trust in the universe. God created the universe and all that is therein. He said they're saying with their mouth that they trust me, but they feel the need to do this and that. I trust you, but I need to do this too, just in case. I trust you, but I better do this too. This thing that is apart from who God is. You're supposed to worship the Creator. You don't worship the creation. He's telling the church, I am the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer. I'm not speaking this out in the community. He said, tell them. You can't serve two masters. It said you will love one and despise the other. heed the warning of the Lord. Do not open the door to these things. There's all kind of things out there. And that some of them may be real close. Real close. It sounds real good. Real good. But when you're connected to God, when you call him your rock, when you're in his presence, and you just want to, he will warn you. But if you've already begun to try this thing or practice this thing, and it's not so bad. It's just a crystal. I'm just trying to tell you. You open the door to some things that you don't understand. There were some rituals practiced long before we existed. You better believe that while David was saying, the Lord is my rock, and while he was praising and dancing, that there was a soothsayer saying something else at the same time. Choose your rock. Choose your foundation. Who will you stand on? Oh, the Holy Ghost said, choose you this day who you will serve. I still come to church. I love the Lord. I don't know what you better get it together. You better get it together. The enemy don't play fair. He don't fight fair. He just wants you to do it long enough so you can say, I can stop when I want to. It's something about a sin here, a sin there. And then there's something that when the sin becomes full grown. It's been nurtured and nourished and built up. And now you're not just attracting the sin. You're attracting the spirit that's attached to that sin. And you can't figure out, well, why am I having a hard time sleeping at night? What is it with this? I just can't figure it out. Every time I take two steps forward, it seems like I'm backing up. I just can't put it to, I've been going to church and I've been going to Bible study and I've been doing the things and I'm reading my word, but you're reading your word and then you're reading the horoscope and then you're looking at the stars and the universe and you got your crystals on and you got your sage hanging up and God said, tell my people, I am the rock, the fortress and the deliverer. The Lord says, I am the only one who truly saves, restores, heals, delivers, and sets free. I'm the only one who truly does that. You know, God is looking for people who will say, I will look to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, I was sitting at my kitchen table thinking and reflecting on past, present, on future, thinking about the things that had gone on and are going on in our lives, family, and just all the things, so many things. And you just thinking, and before I could get completely overwhelmed, I said out loud, out of my mouth, I said, Lord, all of my help comes from you. I said, all of my help comes from you. All of my help. I had to, all of my help comes from you. And some of you may know, I know Robin, that's a song that says, all of my help comes from you. And it is a direct correlation. I believe they got those words. It's inspired by the Psalm 121. All of my help And I want to just let you guys know, this is why lyrics matter. This is why it matters what you listen to. It does. It does. I'm sorry. It matters. Yeah. It does matter. It matters because you don't whether you realize it or not, but what you put in, what you put in is what's going to come out. When you're facing the storms of life, when life is getting hard to bear and things are coming at you in all different directions. You need something that is inside that has some substance, that's saying something, that's encouraging you, that's reminding you of who you are and whose you are. That got to remind you of who he is. I know you say, oh, I'm so serious. I'm not trying to mess with your playlist. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm just trying to let you know. Because life is going to happen. Keep living. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But through the things that you are going to face, you need something to draw from. And when you can't wait till the situation is there to try to get it in, it's too late then. It's got to rise up in you and out of you. I could have been completely overwhelmed, gone down the rabbit hole. That's depression and anxiety and all of the things. But out of my mouth, not inside, outside, I said all of my help. All of my help comes from you. And so the truth is, we know life is not easy. If you didn't know, news flash. But in it all, you have to make up in your mind that you will stand on the true foundation. No matter what people say, no matter what people do, you have to know that all of your needs, your hopes, your lack, your health, your mind, your children, your family, relationships. You have to know that all of your help, all of it, will come from God. Yeah. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. It's easy to do. You find yourself in a desperate situation, you're like willing to try some things. Amen. But you have to remember that. All of my help comes from God. And sometimes you may need to encourage yourself with the Psalms, with songs, with scripture, and his word. I know I talk to myself. He said, do you talk to yourself? I talk to myself. You know, I say things like, my hope is built on nothing less. In Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. It's going to matter. It's going to make a difference. You get a diagnosis when the doctor calls, when your children are under attack, when the enemy is after you, David, when the enemy is after you, it's going to make all the difference. You know, it's a different kind of shout in peacetime when things are going great. It's a different shout. But you won't have to dig deep. You're going to have to reach down, you know, because you're going to realize I don't necessarily feel like praising. But you're going to have to dig down in there. And you may whisper it, but that whisper need to turn into a talk. And the talk may turn into a song. The song may turn into a dance. And the dance may turn into a shot. I mean, I'm just telling you. I'm trying to tell you. That's how we build. That's a part of how we build. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. You get there, please say amen. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Amen. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. It says, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. Think about that. Build a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. It will fall with a mighty crash. You know, God was dealing with me and showing me, I've been reading about houses and foundation and dealing with me with cracks in the foundation. Cracks. You ever, Mama J might know, houses, she deal with houses. You're going to look at some of the older houses or the houses that settled. Sometimes they may have cracks. They may have some different things. And I was just thinking, because he was dealing me with the house, how we're building, right? You are a house. I'm a house. We're a house, right? But the foundation, sometimes, every now and then, there can be a crack. A crack in the building or a crack in the foundation. And I believe God wants us to know that when you do not obey the word of God consistently, we open the door to sin, and sin causes separation. This crack or separation is an opening that leaves you vulnerable in that certain area of your life. Whether you're struggling in your mind, you want to know why? There was an opening. There was something there. There was something there that you just a little crack. And we're up against an enemy that's always looking for a way in. Always looking for an opportunity. Always looking for that. Some cracks are caused by trauma, abuse, abandonment, rejection, betrayal, guilt, maybe shame. So many things can cause a crack in the foundation of your house or in the build, a crack in the building. And the same is in the natural. Those things cause cracks. Maybe not sin. Maybe it's something that you had nothing to do with. It wasn't even your fault. But he wants us to know, although we have an enemy that's always looking for a way in, we have a responsibility to seal up those cracks, the crevices, the openings. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And he can heal those wounds of past wounds, things that you had no control over. He can heal those things. He can fill in the gap. He can make up the difference. Because here's what he wants us to know. The enemy operates in the divide, in the opening. Takes advantage of our times of vulnerability, our times of exposure. Think about a house, a crack in the roof, water seeping in, different things are getting in. Think about the enemy looking for that crack, looking for that opportunity to get in. He uses our pain, our misfortune as an opportunity to gain access to our homes, to your individual temple, to our church, to our thoughts, our minds. He's a deceiver, a liar. He don't fight fair. He takes pleasure in coming for you when you are already down. He's a coward. Won't even let you get back up. That's not a fair fight, is it? And I want you to know that some big things are sometimes considered small when we talk about the crack in the foundation. So I just named some really big things, some life-changing things, right? Trauma, I talked about abuse and all the things. But he wanted me to add on there gossiping, envy, jealousy, anger. And I've shared this before. The Holy Spirit told me there's division in division. If you love math, you can be like, woo. I don't even like math like that. But I was like, wow, I can see that. Division in division. The enemy operates in the divide. And so don't be so naive to think that if you're gossiping, if you're angry, you're bitter, those things, if you're gossiping, the same people you stand, sit, walk, and talk with, don't be naive to think that within that division, that group, one person from that group won't go and talk about you over here. And then one person from that group will talk about you over here. But what you need to know is that in the divide, the enemy is just operating. Just free access, free will. And that division separates. There's a scripture that says that gossip separates the best of friends. Divisive. The opening. And so he gets in there with some big things, but the enemy gets in there with those things that we don't even count as big. Yeah. They seem real small, right? Ah, that's not so big. That little thing, it's the small foxes. It's the small foxes. You'll be looking at the big thing, and the little thing will be tearing you up. Operating undercover. You don't even know. You feel the big crack, and there's a little crack where all the water, all the stuff is getting in. We just got to be aware that we build in a way that pleases God. That we operate in a way where we're building on the true foundation, not on pride, not on in a fortress that's gonna eventually entrap us, not on a rock that's not even a rock. I feel like it got the appearance of a rock, but it's like sand. It might be good for a little while, and then it's just destructive. And so I wanna take some time right now, and I'm being obedient. Yeah, I had a hard time with this word. I had a hard time because I was trying to figure out, is this what? I'm telling the church that you are the rock. And we ought to know these things, right? But God is intentional. He is strategic. And everything is good. It's good for a good shout, right? But every now and then you got to get something in you that's going to sustain you. That's going to keep you, built to last. Like, we're not building just to be, I thought about, we want converts, right? We want people that come in and, if you die tomorrow, where will you be? Right? And that's good, right? And so some people accept this thing, accept salvation out of fear and out of, I got to do it now, right? And they accepted him, and then they go on and live like, right? And I just feel like God is wanting more than a convert. He wanting a disciple. Like, he wants somebody to know, somebody that has to be transformed, LaTanya. Like, somebody has to be, there has to be an inner change that takes place, that teaches us how to build on the true foundation. Because you may accept Christ and I'm saved, and you have no teaching and you have no guidance and you don't have the word of God and you can't quote a psalm and you don't have a song to dig from. And when you get out in life, the passage of scripture didn't say that if the storms come, the house will fall. It said when the storms come, it will beat on that house. So the storms of life are coming. But are you building? Are you built to last? Can you weather the storms of this life? Do you have the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer, and nothing else? Not the other stuff that's outside of who he is. Do you know that all of your help, all of your help, everything that you need, everything that you will ever need, everything that you want, the things you want that you don't even need, he will give you those things. But he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Oh, we quote that scripture. Do we live that scripture? There is a difference. You know, in the natural, a storm comes and you can see the devastation from just some of the recent hurricanes. Roof damage and the damages, and y'all saw the video that Maurice's sister sent, the damage and just how much, right? We've seen what the storm could do. You know, I was studying and I said, wow, God. You know, but he showed me and said, it's not the storm that is like destroying us, right? Really, really, that's not what's eating us up as Christians, right? Because when we're built on that foundation, it says that that house that's built on a rock is gonna last, right? He said that it's the sin. Those openings are there. And then when the storm comes, that's how we get the damage. So for us, if you are in Christ and if you're living for him, the storms only reveal where the cracks are. They come and they're meant to come. They're meant to come. But while we have time, while it is today, while it is now, because we don't know what the next minute, hour, we don't know what life holds, right? We know like who holds tomorrow. We know that he's got it, but we don't know what that means for us. But while it is today, take notice, examine your own life. Examine your building. No, this is not judgment time. This is time to heal and to be aware of where you are, of how you are building. Did you just accept him out of fear and then just run off? That's not going to keep you. You're going to have something in here. So I want to be obedient, and I want to respond in this moment. Go ahead and lift up a praise unto God right now. And thank God for his guidance. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his direction. Thank God for his direction. Thank God for his chastisement. He said, I chastise those I love. Thank God for who he is, right? But then thank God for his warning. 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 Heed the warning of the Lord. Heed the warning of the Lord. Praise God for his warning. Praise God for his warning. Thank God for delivering you from the enemies that you have already overcome. Thank God for delivering you from the enemies that you will face. Thank God before the storm comes. Thank God before the storm comes. Let him know that you recognize and you acknowledge him as the rock, the fortress, and the deliverer. The altar is open. Keep praising him. The altar is open. You can kneel at your seat. You can come before God. It's time to pray.